lights. It's 7 Friday night.
Welcome to 7 Friday Night. I'm Sports Stars Magazine Managing Editor Chase Bryson, and I'm joined as always by my good friend and co-host Ben Enos. It's our second to last episode of this season, and our last one that we'll have football games to talk about. If you thought Ben was in pre-football withdrawal last week, this week is the true test of his coping skills. Welcome, Ben.
Yes, hello, good people of internet land. Chase is choosing to acknowledge the end of the season with deep personal denial that will manifest in a multitude of ways as he goes forward in life and require professional assistance. I, on the other hand, am choosing to meet it head on by admitting that the end is nigh and trying to think through how I can get my fix through the off season. Maybe I'll go to 7-on-7 tournaments or something, or maybe I'll start a podcast. Oh, wait. We better move along before this gets weird.
I say this with all due respect because your work for Sports Stars and this show was beyond reproach this fall. But dude, take a breather. Have some eggnog and some holiday fudge.
No chance.
Just kick back for a little bit.
All gas, no brakes.
Well, I think you could benefit from reading our scoreboard this week more than me. So why don't you have at it?
Yes, the scoreboard. And just to annoy you, I've included cities this week.
I saw that.
Yes, here we go. All right. Last weekend's CIF state championship games went like this in the open division. It was Mater Dei of Santa Ana 35, Sarah of San Mateo 0. We will discuss in a bit. 1AA, Mission Viejo 27, De La Salle of Concord 14. Comprehensive coverage of that game coming up. 1A, NorCal champions, your Folsom Bulldogs 20, St. Bonaventure of Ventura 14. 2AA, Lucerna of Whittier 21, Grant Sacramento 19. I have feelings on this game. We'll discuss. 2A, Central Valley Christian Visalia 45, Los Gatos 42. Great season for Coach Crail and Los Gatos. 3AA, Acolanes of Lafayette. Going to be a parade down Mount Diablo. 35, Birmingham, Lake Balboa, 23. 3A, Marin Catholic, Kentfield, 38. Mayfair of Lakewood, 18. Props to the Wildcats, bringing another NorCal title or state title home. 4AA, SoCal, 28. Eurupa Hills of Fontana, I can say it right. 7, SoCal, bringing Northern California another title. Palma of Salinas, 42, Mission Oak of Tulare, 19, in the 4A final. I hitched my wagon to the right train. 5AA, Ramona of Riverside, 35, Pleasant Valley, Chico, 7. 5A, Woodland Christian of Woodland. Chase made fun of us not knowing anything about them last week, and we should have, because they beat Banning 23-13 to win that championship. St. Vincent de Paul of Petaluma, 27, Wasco, 6, to bring the 6AA title back to Petaluma. 6A, Calusa, 33, Sweetwater of National City, 17. 7AA, you know it, you love it, Ferndale, 29, Fairfax, LA, 21. And in the 7A game, it's Strathmore, mighty Strathmore, 42, Bell Gardens, 7. That's what happened. I read that with gusto. Chase, provide us with any thoughts on any non-Saddleback games, because we actually watched, between the two of us, all 5 Saddleback games.
We did. Of all the results, I think I was most excited to see Ferndale win. My first full-time newspaper job was as a sports writer in Humboldt County, where I was going to college. I covered my share of Ferndale games during that time, and they were some of the coolest experiences that I had there. If you see the movie Hoosiers about Indiana high school basketball in the 50s, or the Friday Night Lights movie about small-town Texas football, that's what you should envision when you think of Ferndale. There's one single road leading into town, and as you drive in, you'll pass barns with paintings on the side that say Wildcats or Go Wildcats Football. They play on a natural grass field that delivers some of the best mud games I've ever watched. It's just a Norman Rockwell-like town and setting. And if there isn't a parade down Main Street for that program, I'd be absolutely shocked. I'm just super juiced for that school and that community. Also, that's number 1 for the Humboldt Del Norte League, too, in terms of state bowls, I think. I don't believe there's I think that's the first for that league. So that's the league I covered pretty closely for like 3 to 4 years. So that was neat to see that league get a title as well. So I was big into that. Also, we noted, I don't know if we noted at the top, but 10 wins for NorCal. We asked them to bring some hardware home and they delivered.
Yes, correct.
So what about you? Did you have a winner that stood out among the rest in the Division 4-7 group?
Yeah, I did. Before we talk about winners, I want to shout out a tremendous season for Los Gatos. I mentioned it. They fought to the very end. That looked like a fantastic football game. So props to those guys for just a great season. Glad that they got a chance to get there and do that. That is because of a structural change. We talk all the time about needing change, and the CCS did, and they gave Los Gatos a chance. So good for them. We're going to talk Marian Catholic in a little bit, so no need to talk through that one. Props to Palma. They were good all season. They just had a few forfeits on the record. Props to Soquel for finishing off a historic season. And we got to shout out St. Vincent de Paul, because Trent Herzog has been an absolute mainstay in Redwood Empire football for a long time. And he remains one of the top coaches in the NCS. So congrats to Trent and his team. That's a really cool title to bring home to Petaluma. So wanted to shout him out as well.
I would like to point out that in the year that we brought up the egg vending machine multiple times, I was happy to see a Petaluma team bring home a title.
Not one of the contestants in the Egg Bowl. It's a third option here.
It was. Yeah. But still an Egg City, right?
So. Yep.
So good stuff. So you, as you mentioned, you ended up streaming 4 of the 5 games at Saddleback, and we both watched De La Salle together. So let's start there. It was a tough one for the Spartans, but I didn't think they played poorly by any stretch, and I think we'll hear Coach Hudson back that up a little bit later as well. That Mission Viejo team was quite good, and the Diablos stopped the Spartans' running game, and we've talked all year about how if the Spartans' running game is stopped, they kind of get gummed up a little bit, and it makes it tough for them. And it was especially difficult for De La Salle to get into any kind of rhythm in that game, especially once they fell behind. So that's kind of, I mean, those were the key points that I remember as we watched. Yeah. What were your thoughts as you look back at it?
Yeah, I'll add my 2 cents on the Spartans. And what I really want to add is that, you know, of anyone I know, you say this more than anybody, but we always overlook, when you talk about the end of the season, and we'll be having this conversation soon, the contributions of the De La Salle coaching staff, because you just assume that they have the talent level that they should be there all the time. And I get that for a lot of people in the North Coast section, that absolutely rings true. But, you know, from where that team started to what they had to endure and where they ended up, you can't help but be complimentary of that coaching staff and Justin Allenbaugh and the job that those guys did to get that team to where they were on Friday night in Southern California. You know, I think Terry said this last week, or maybe it was you, but sitting at 0-2 and staring at games against St. Mary's of Stockton and Folsom, I'm not sure you could have with a straight face predicted that they would end up at Saddleback. So, right. You know, I'll echo what you said. I thought Mission Viejo earned that win on Friday night for sure. And now the Spartans turn to an off season in which they should have a pretty healthy amount of optimism, because there's plenty of talent coming back. Terry has talked all year about that being a young defense, and they will lose talented seniors, Drew Cunningham, Chris Biller, not easy to replace, but there's a lot of talent on that team. So not that you would have thought that the Spartans were going away, but nothing I saw Friday night makes me think that they are. So business as usual on Winton Drive, really.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. So that was Friday night. Before you got to my house to watch that game, I watched every single minute of the Grant Lucerna game. And you'll have to indulge me. I have feelings on this one. Pacer Nation, settle in. You're going to like this. Lucerna won 21-19 after Grant scored late, tried for 2 again and couldn't quite get there to tie the score. I feel like I've said that before this year. Although the last one was to win the game. That the Pacers were even in it late is a testament to their resolve, because quarterback Luke Alexander got literally knocked out of the game by a helmet-to-helmet hit late in the second quarter. I truly don't believe it was a malicious hit. It was a football play, plain and simple. But I got to say, at any level, that sort of helmet-to-helmet hit is a penalty and a possible ejection. Whether the tackler, who was also Lucerna's quarterback, stays in the game or not, I think you can debate. Ejection, no ejection, you could go either way, I think. I personally probably don't toss him. But the fact that no official thought it would be a good idea to throw a flag while the quarterback of Grant is knocked out on the ground is really unfortunate, because not only did they miss that call, but they gave Grant a holding penalty on the same play that took them out of the red zone. Had they offset the penalties, the Pacers still had two timeouts and could have kept giving the ball to Wayshon Parker or Devin Green. Both options to score a touchdown, if I've ever seen one. As it happened, they had to try to throw, and that went nowhere because it was a freshman quarterback coming in to run the offense that he didn't think he was going to have to do. So I thought that was unfortunate officiating in a really big spot. But I want to give Grant all the credit in the world for fighting all the way to the end, because they really showed a lot of heart and determination, and they didn't whine about it after the game. They handled themselves the way you want to see, but I'll say it for them. I thought that was unfortunate. That was Friday afternoon for me. We got to move to Saturday. We've got some wins, NorCal wins Saturday to talk about for a change.
Yeah, Akalana's in the morning game, or morning 11:30 in the wake up game. I remember last year we woke up at about 10:30 and got there for the ceremony game, right?
Yep.
So the Akalana's, I mean, God, what can you say? They just they were an absolute force there over the last four games of this season. I don't know if we truly gave them a shot to go to go all the way to Saddleback, no less, and then win in the fashion they did. But more power to them. That was a really, really good effort. I got to see a little bit of the morning, or a little bit of the first half, but you saw the nuts and bolts of the end when they finished it off. So yeah, you should probably speak a little bit more to how they polished it off, because I didn't. You were just keeping me updated by text.
Yeah, I watched this whole game. This is a story about staying with the fight, man. Sully Bailey, who I've talked to personally this year, was on a damaged leg at the end of the game. He could barely bend over. You could see there were mobility issues. But man, he just stayed in. We would find out later, courtesy of some good reporting from our friends at the Bay Area News Group, that backup quarterback Jake Baselli was out, did not play, was not available to come in. And so Sully said, it's either me or the freshman, and I'm going to keep going. So he was just dealing big plays to his guys, and he had guys to deal the ball to.
Yeah.
Trevor Rogers has been on this show, and I'm so excited to see him in blue and gold, because he had a huge game. Paul Keener scored a big touchdown at the end. Jack Giorgiani was tremendous on both sides of the ball. And I thought Floyd Burnside and his staff really called a smart, good game on offense. I texted you at halftime that I thought Akalanis should win.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they did. So, hey, man, I told you a couple weeks ago, if any team decides to have a parade, I will go. And if they were going to have a parade for the Dons, like I drove through Lafayette today, there was a sign in front of the Safeway that said, good luck at state. Like, let's have the parade, replace that sign. Congratulations on being state champions, and I'll be there, man. Mount Diablo, we'll get some pachis. Come on.
Yeah. That would be awesome if they can put a parade together for them. They deserve it.
I'm excited for those guys. It's Coach Burnside does it right. He's always been just absolutely awesome for us to talk to, and just very happy for them. So
we go, I mean, you and I go back to that program way even before Floyd Burnside.
Absolutely. So, Coach Ivankovic, Coach Takahashi.
Yeah. Takahashi, yep.
I would assume was on the sidelines on Saturday afternoon. So it's well deserved for the students, the faculty, the staff. We love our La Mirinda football, that's for sure.
Yep.
So let's get on to the game that you watched, and I actually did not watch 1 minute of, the one game I missed. There's a state title coming back to the Blue Turf.
Yes, there is. Yeah, and the legend Rider Lions is only going to get much, much bigger after last weekend. My goodness. So I didn't get to watch the whole game. I joined in for full time once the fourth quarter started, but that's the only quarter you needed to watch because it got really good from there. Rider Lions, his performance reminded me a lot of the Luke Baker performance that we saw last year. Mm-hmm. Every time they needed a big play, he made it with either his legs or his arm. They were down 14-7, led them down for what would have been the potential tying game, potential tying touchdown. But then they decided to go for two with about 2.5 minutes to go and didn't get it. But they had all three timeouts. So they kicked off. Defense got the stop. They got the ball back with about I guess it was like probably just over 2 minutes, like 2:02 maybe, so right around there. It was a legit 2 minute drill, and he took him right down the field. They had a penalty that backed them up one time. They didn't blink. They went right back to it, and then he comes through and he throws a touchdown pass, just an absolute dime on the move to Jameson Powell with 20 seconds left. And that's all it took. It was they went 20-14. It was just awesome. And side note, what a week for the Folsom QB lineage, right? Last week, right? Yeah. Jake Browning starts it off with some Monday Night Football shine for his first ever NFL win for the Bengals. And then Lions closes it with a come from behind effort that gives the school and program its fifth state championship. So the hype machine for him is about to go astronomical. I can tell you that much.
Good days. Fun. Good days for the NorCal Passing Academy. Yeah, no, I was bummed I didn't get a chance to watch that because I really did enjoy watching Folsom. I saw him a couple times this year and really enjoy what they got going. And like we've said, good times ahead for Folsom because Rider Lions is a sophomore, everybody. So that was Saturday late afternoon. I got home. After did you watch any of this game of the open game?
I didn't get to see any of it. No.
Okay. I got home after navigating some San Francisco traffic, and I watched this whole game. Maybe because I was in my own denial, or maybe because I have a screw loose. I'm willing to admit to either. And yeah, it ended up as predicted, but I do have a couple thoughts. First, it's a good thing Mater Dei has more talent than my Cal Bears, because they were incredibly undisciplined all night. My goodness, penalties everywhere, encroachment, at least 6 encroachment penalties, at least. I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but man, that was sloppy. On to Sarah. First, if Patrick Walsh has any more trick plays, exotic formations, or crazy thoughts in his playbook, I would love to see them. Because he threw literally the kitchen sink at the Monarchs on Saturday. Second, I wonder if the CCS is going to start to look at ways to mitigate the 3-week break caused by their format and the fact that the open team doesn't play a NorCal game. Steve Quist was on the call for Spectrum, and he made a good point on the broadcast that when this happens in basketball with conference championships, teams actually have a way to find an additional game so that they can maintain some sharpness in that long break. I know football teams wouldn't do that, but I do think that the 3-week break isn't a super good thing when it comes to maintaining sharpness and being like really game ready to go right when you roll out. That's an issue for SoCal too, I think. But it struck me as odd. Now, I just want to give as much love as I can to the Sarah seniors, to Coach Walsh, and to anyone and everyone involved with getting that program to where it is today. It's really unfortunate that those guys can't hang a state championship banner simply because they've had to play the SoCal football factories these last 3 years. But I want to put this in a little bit of perspective. The non-football part of being a member of that Sarah program is the actual cool part, and it's the part that makes us respect Coach Walsh and his program the most. Having had a chance to talk to some of those seniors, I really just enjoy how Sarah approaches the big picture, and no state bowl result is going to change that for me. Those guys are going to go on and do big things in football and in life. So I just want to make sure we give as much credit as possible to the Sarah Padres. They lost their last game of the year. They are the best team in Northern California. No result on Saturday night was going to change that. And just like last year, when we write the story, when we think back of about the 2023 season, we will think back to the fact that Sarah was the best football team we saw this year. That yep. simple.
Real simple.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you got anything else? I think we've talked a lot about a weekend that we weren't at.
It's just all part of clinging to the last threads of a season, I guess.
Exactly.
No, I'm good.
All right, good. Well, we purposely left one state champion out of our breakdown because we haven't talked as much as we should have this year about them, and we wanted to go in depth for a few minutes. Thanks to a 38-18 win over Mayfair, the Marin Catholic Wildcats have added a state title to the trophy case in Kent Field. And we figured, who better to break it down with than one of the state's top two-way talents? We asked Marin Catholic star Charles Williams to give us a sense of what the night was like, what this season's been like, and if it feels to him like he's been there for 10 years, like it does for us. Let's check out what he's got to say.
Back in early November, when Marin Catholic was getting set to host league foe San Marin in a battle of undefeateds, we talked about getting Wildcat star two-way player Charles Williams to come on the show. But scheduling issues left us scrapping our interview segment for the week, and that turned out to be quite serendipitous because now we can welcome Mr. Williams following a truly memorable effort this past Saturday. The senior had a touchdown run, caught a touchdown pass, had two big punt returns, and added two interceptions on defense as the Wildcats won the 3A State Championship Bowl game 38-18 over Mayfair. All's well that ends well, am I right? Welcome, Charles.
Hello.
Glad to be yonder. You're going to take up kicking, punting? Is there anything else you can do on a football field, man?
It's whatever the coach needs me to be at. I'll do it.
Amen to that. So this is state win number two for you, but if I'm not mistaken, the win over Central Valley Christian 2 years ago, that was up here, right?
Yeah, it was in Marin.
Yeah. So I'll start by asking about the experience in the game itself this week. What was it like for you guys as a team to hit the road and get that state experience? And what do you think made the difference in beating Mayfair?
I'll say, you know, we had extreme focus on this whole week, just coming up there and just having handling business and having the same mindset we do just every week. We go in the same mindset just day by day, just go to the same progressions and watch film, get the little details right, and, just play football and have fun.
Did the stage actually feel bigger because you guys went on a road trip?
Yeah, it felt a little more personal this time, you know, because, you know, we're going out there and a little more hungry. You're going out there to someone else and, you know, taking it from them at their home. Feel a little better, you know, because just knowing you took it from them at their home stadium.
Nice.
What was the scouting report this week? What did you guys know you needed to do against Mayfair?
We knew that they were, you know, all-around good team, pass-heavy team, had a couple main receivers, you know, we had to just shut them down and stop their run. You know, we have a good, you know, run defense, but most importantly, we had to stop their pass because, you know, they were a pass-heavy team. Yeah.
Charles, when did you look at your team and think that we can win a state title? What would you say the team made its biggest growth or improvement in as the season progressed?
Biggest growth in like our season was probably just like, you know, just the brotherhood we had just around each other, you know, just like hanging out all the time, you know, just having tight bonds with everyone, and it's brought, you know, the energy and it's transfer over to the field. So just made us play even better and play more hard for each other.
When do you think you knew that you guys were capable of winning it all?
We knew from, you know, the start in summer that our only goal was state championship. Coach Mazzi always, you know, sets a high expectation for us. You know, we always set our bar higher, so we felt like we can, you know, make it to state, pull it off, and win. So, and you know, we did it.
You know, for a couple of guys over the years, Jason, I've been doing this a long time, but it feels like for some select guys that we've talked about them for like 10 years, and I say, it's felt for us every year like we keep coming back and talking about you as one of Northern California's top players. And so maybe you might need a little more time to process kind of the fact that you've played your last game in Marin Catholic blue, but What stands out to you when you look back on just an incredible career as a member of the Marin Catholic football team?
Probably what stands out to me the most is just, you know, I'm probably going to miss the family the most. I'm definitely going to miss Coach Mazzie and the coaching staff because, you know, they did a lot for me and teaching me, you know, just how to just be the person I am today. So I probably wouldn't be the man I am today without them. So really do appreciate them and the following of, like, just the people I had in the past just helped me grow from there. So I'm really happy that I was a part of this program. You know.
What's next? What's next for you? Are you playing hoops?
Yeah, I'm playing hoops right now. I had practice today, so
no rest.
Man, it's all right.
how's the hoops team looking?
No, we're looking pretty good. You know, we should have a solid year. So, you know, pretty excited.
We like to ask random questions of our interview guests all the time. Are you defense or offense when it comes to football? What's your preference?
It's hard to even say that, to be honest, because I don't really like I prefer, honestly. I enjoy both playing both ways, but I mean,
yeah.
I never really thought about it like that. Honestly, that's a good question. So
let's go. Go ahead. Keep going.
See, if I had to choose, I mean, probably offense because, you know, I like to have the ball in my hands. So I just enjoy playing. You know, I enjoy offense, you know, playing, you know, running back since I've been like, you know, five. So, I mean, it's pretty fun just, you know, just running, just trusting my teammates to block for me. Knowing that they're going to have a good block for me is just always, you know, good. It's good just to know.
Chase, you got to give the best athlete. He's got to get the ball. I've been all year. I've wanted Marco Jones at San Ramon Valley to be a running back because I would be scared to try and stop him. You're the same way.
What's the play of all those things that I ticked off during my interview? The two picks, the touchdown catch, the touchdown run, the punt returns. What play are you going to probably remember most from the state title game?
I'm probably going to remember the second pick I had, you know, running off the field and, you know, just going to the crowd, you know, kind of got fired up, took my helmet off, you know, started yelling at the crowd. And, you know, my cousin was on there on the sideline too. And also kind of, you know, pretty fired up too, because I also kind of broke the record too for interceptions, like in a season career. So I was pretty fired up, you know, just, you know, kind of got a little emotional there.
That's awesome.
Emotions kind of took over there.
No. Hey. As they should.
Yeah, at that point in the year, man, let it fly.
Right on, man. I'm good, Ben. You good?
Good.
All right. Well, we definitely appreciate you you dropping in, man, and just congratulations once again on a unbelievable career with the Wildcats and a couple of state titles. And have a happy holidays, man.
Thank you. You guys too. Honestly, I appreciate you guys having me on here. You
know, all right. Good luck at the next level, man.
And good luck with hoops.
Thank you.
See ya.
You have a good night.
See ya.
At some point, your community will be challenged. It could be a flood, forest fire, hurricane, or civil unrest. When it happens, be the one to answer the call. Rescue the stranded. Protect the threatened. Save the injured. Join the National Guard and serve your community when it needs you most. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
For one final time this season, we welcome in the third member of our crew, Coach Terry Edson. And while we know the season didn't end the way he would have liked for his De La Salle Spartans, we will note that his magical burrito does remain undefeated heading into the 2024 campaign. We should also note that he may have to get a bit more aggressive in exploring burrito shipping methods the next time around. We'll ask the coach about his trip to SoCal, wrap up the season, and insert our usual holiday cheer. Here goes nothing.
Well, for the last time in 2023, we welcome in the third member of our merry group. Coach Terry Edson has returned from Southern California, where we can only assume that an 11th hour magic burrito transport miracle failed to come to fruition since the Spartans win streak ended with a 27-14 loss to Mission Viejo in the CIF 1AA state bowl on Friday night. Coach, We know you explored every avenue.
The burrito's 12-0. We're gonna leave it at that for right now. With that, I'm gonna have to. Well, I mean, come on. We think we lost because I didn't have a burrito.
We absolutely we're think get to that.
I mean, it's a good gag and all that, but really, okay. Well, yeah, that's it. I will, if I do coach next year, I will eat it before every game. No, still, until it breaks the mojo. But
well,
if it works all the way through next year, I'm definitely going to find a way to get that thing down there.
As you should. Well, we're going to do this one final time. Chase and I watched together on our television here at my place. So first, we have to commend you for your photobombing ability coming out of halftime. Because when Justin was doing his interview, you were just wandering around in the background. It was really fun for us.
Well, that's pretty much what I do all the time. So it just so happened to be there's a camera around. That's how clueless I am. I didn't even know he was talking with anybody.
Well, from a game perspective, it looked like a chilly night in Mission Viejo. What made the difference in favor of the Diablos on Friday night?
You know, we know our offense, you know, we've had some issues. And I think one of the things is you when you have a chance and you've been struggling a little bit, you got to convert when you get the chance. You know, we had Derek Blanche down the sideline and, you know, we hit him, but if we just would have thrown a little bit to his right side, that's a touchdown. And then right before half, unexplicably, they let our receiver go down, let Jaden Nicklaus go down the middle wide open. And we just was a little bit hair to his left. He had to stop, you know, a little bit and corral it in. And that's two scores right there that, you know, definitely we could use because they were, you know, what are you going to do? They literally had their whole defense with 7 yards from the line of scrimmage. And it's tough to run when they stack everybody up and they're daring us to throw. And as we know, it's just the facts. You know, like we like to say, facts are not attacks. we did not throw the ball that great this year. So it was smart strategy by them to make us try to throw it. They won those matchups. And, you know, our secondary is really good, and they have a really good receiving core. You know, they got a 10-7-meter, 100-meter guy in their lineup. They got a guy going to USC. And, you know, you play zone against them. I think they just kill us if we played a lot of zone. So we had to play man. And, you know, they got us a couple times in man. And that's life in football. You know, you do what you can do. You come up, you match up with what you think is the best thing you've got. When we tried blitzing, they picked it up, and you know, we covered pretty decently. They had a couple nice throws, and that was that. But I, you know, it's interesting. I actually felt pretty lousy after the game, and then when I watched film, which I did start watching film today, I actually felt better because I think we played a lot better than the score indicated. It was just for this time around, there's no doubt the better team won. I'm just thinking as a special teams coach, I should just start teaching our kids to tackle on kick return or hold, you know, and clip from behind and all that. Cause that happened to us all year. We didn't get one call. So I'm thinking if they're never going to call it, I guess I should try it this next year too. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Your offsides play on the punt team worked again. It worked again.
I saw him lining up. I go, it's not a matter if it's going to work. It's how many guys are going to jump. I can just see it right now. I saw it coming all the way. Yeah. So if there's one thing I will say, I think that I lead, there's no stat for this, Ben, but I'm going to say on special teams, I lead the nation in jumping guys offsides on special teams. For my 39 years, I think I definitely are in the record book for that.
The 2023 ledger will note that it should have been one more.
Should have been.
On the blue turf.
It really should have been. It really should have been. But that's all right. But it was a good game. It was a well-played game. Yep. You know, I wish we would have gotten that fumble in the third quarter called our way.
That was
kind of a tough one because that got him up by 17, and that made it really difficult.
Yeah. We got to see some good angry Justin.
A
couple different. There was one during that first quarter timeout, and I think there was another time when he went after the refs. So he definitely got his angry face time in.
Yeah, well, you know, when for Chris Biller. I don't know how many times he was held, but I mean, like really held. I mean, there's the, okay, I could see that. Then there's the, what more do you want him to do if a guy's got his claws around his neck or, man. Yeah. There's a couple times it's like, come on, you can't just not call it ever, you know, but that's, you know, but that's, you know, that's why he was angry. I'm not in any way suggesting one way or the other that was the outcome of the game, but it's frustrating. You know, this happens to us in SoCal, and not just this game. It's happened forever. We are undersized against their big guys. I don't think if anyone ever seen us like match up pound for pound with those guys. If there was a year, remind me what year it was because I just can't remember. And you know, when you have smaller guys, they're going to be quicker and faster. You got to give them a break knowing that they're going to get around that corner. And you just can't grab those guys like that. And it seems to happen with the mentality of we're not going to be – every time a ref says to me, like, you know, we're not going to be out here. We're just going to let them play. I don't want you to know. We don't want to be a part of this. It's like, no, be a part of it. If they're going to tackle our guys, please be a part of this. Like that second half kickoff, Biller literally got put into a bear hug. And that was the hole right where he was, got tackled. And it's like, no, you can call that, really. It's okay. You know, it's fine. Yeah. But like I said, that's when coaches get frustrated. See it all the time. I mean, you know, you don't want a holding called 50 times. I get it. But there's a couple times at the point of attack, you just kind of have to call it. And that Justin had seen enough, I guess, basically.
What do you think you'll remember most about this 2023 Spartans team?
Well, their resilience was really impressive to me as young men. First of all, I didn't know when we were 0-2, and I mean, we were playing bad football. I thought we were staring 0-4, 0-5 in the face. And if you'd come up to me after Sarah and said, you know, I'd have been at the Jim Mora, you know, what do you think about your chances of going to state? I mean, state. We're just trying to win a ball game, you know. We couldn't run diddly poo. There's just no way. I thought the team would, you know, make, and they made great strides. You know, sophomores and juniors, I thought they made huge strides. You know, we had great seniors on the team. They're great kids, and you know, they hung in there. And it's easy to have things go south on you when things start going bad early in the year, but they hung in there, you know, and then to have Coach Jacoby pass away was just a real dagger for these young men. And I know that they were really hurt. They were not able to finish it off from him, but I know Steve, and I know, you know, how you would have thought. There's no way you'd have been disappointed in their effort from Friday night. And it was a tough one, a tough year, but they really hung together. And the only other time, like I said, that's happened to us, I think, was, you know, Terrence Kelly in that year. And that was kind of a redemptive year as well, where kind of the same things, we floundered for a long time on that season and then finally got it together. But you know, it's just tough on the kids, you know, and you're going through this, you're lifting since January, you have a goal in mind, and there's just got to be a loser in these games. And that's the way of life here in sports. And of course, none of us wanted that for those guys, especially the seniors, but it happens. And, you know, you just got to bounce back and look it. And I'm not downplaying because of their effort and the commitment they put to into one another. And no one wants to win more than me. But I think the kids learned a life lesson. You know, there are things, you know, more important than a high school football game. And I'm very proud of the fact that, you know, I think our program, we do things the right way. We keep our kids on track. We if the kids, you know, there's, you know, don't do the Spartan way like, you know, we want them to, there is consequences for that. No matter who you are, how important you are to the team. And, you know, we stuck by, you know, who we were this year. And I'm very proud of that and the staff, and a lot of life lessons for our kid this year. There are kids, I think they learned. And that's very gratifying as a coach to go through that experience with the kids, and they'll get over it. I mean, they will get over it. They'll get over that game. Their experience and their relationship with Coach Jacoby, that's probably going to be a little bit harder to get over down the road. But all in all, I thought it was a real gratifying season.
Well, as is our custom, we'll go from something meaningful and heartfelt to decidedly less so. And we don't have any picks to talk about anymore. So, do we?
What about the national championship? We're going to just let the college football bowl season just pass us by here?
Who's going to win the national championship then?
I already know who's going to win.
Bring it on.
Well, I'm supposed to give this pick for free?
What is this, our new 900 number?
That's what I'm thinking we should head on to here. We have the podcast now. We move on to let's make some cash on this. This is a golden pick right here.
Commercials on Tolbert's show already. Stone Cold Lock.
Listen, if Ohio State, what was that field goal last year? A 49-yarder? Wasn't like a 49 or 50 yard against Georgia. They lost 42-41. Do you remember that when the national championship was played in the semifinals? Because they can't seem to get this right ever about I'll tell you right now, let's face it. The reason why, besides Georgia having 3,000 number one draft picks on their team last year, but why did Ohio State almost win that game? If the guy, you know, doesn't kick a little left, they do. CJ Stroud, the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback, the trigger makes all the difference in the world. I know everyone's saying, watch out for Alabama, but I just don't think they have the trigger to lead. You know, that isn't Tua out there or Jalen Hurts, both who, by the way, are having pretty successful NFL careers right now. you know, and I think J.J. McCarthy is a good quarterback. He's a good game manager. I think, you know, the who's the other? Who am I missing here?
Texas, Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers, another kid. I think he's good. I don't think he's like, oh, my God. But Michael Penix.
You're really going to pick the Huskies here.
Did you see him against Oregon when all those McMillan and all those guys came back? That was a different team against Oregon when they had all their weapons. And I'd say the QB always, the trigger makes the difference. And the guy, I think the team by far that has the best trigger is Washington. He's had some banged up ribs. He's going to have 3 weeks to rest them. You're going to see a dialed in Michael Penix. And their defense isn't like everyone always like, for that defense is like a bend but don't break defense. They always find a way, and especially in the fourth quarter, they're diamonds. They've been playing really well. I am. I know the Pac-12's disbanding.
Okay.
That would be
I'm looking wild. At the team because in college this day, defense matters, but offense really matters. And I think Washington has the best offense of all the teams. I mean, Texas lost their best running back. Now, of course, the guy behind him is still good. But I think Washington was kind of banged up all year. You're going to see a different team out there. That's my prediction.
Hey, if I hope
beat,
you're right.
They beat Texas. I think it's going to be what the one thing that Georgia couldn't stop this year was the run. That was Alabama's forte. That's the one. Everything's about matchups. Michigan, that's the one thing they can do. They can stop the run. And I think Michigan's defense keeps them in their light. I see that as a 17-14 game. Michigan's got great field goal kicker. So I think that'll be the difference the first round. I think it's an over for sure in Texas, Washington. But I'm taking Penix. Now, of course, anybody gets whacked, all bets are off. Okay, sure. But I'm taking Penix. I think that Washington, those receivers, those guys are the real deal. That is the real deal offense. Yeah. I think they take them in against Michigan. I think they have too much firepower, and I think they beat Michigan for the national championship.
Wow.
You heard it here first.
Okay.
And it was the free one. If this all comes true, that's the last free thing you're going to get for college.
We got skin in the game here. Lots of Bay Area guys in purple. So I'm all for it.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, we got a preview of this on Sunday because all three of us were watching and you were actually in the building. So while I know that Dumb Football is at least going to be partially the 49ers edition, can I please get some love for a wide receiver offsides on the biggest play of the game being among the dumbest things you will ever see on a football field?
Why are they arguing this? I saw the steal. I'm going, he's offsides.
You can't see the ball.
And Rex Ryan had it right. I've been coaching, and I'm only a high school guy. I hear that. But if anything, there's more leniency in high school.
Yeah.
I have never, ever heard a ref go, your receiver's offsides. That always gets called. Yes, they have said, coach, move up your tackle a little bit. Coach, your defensive player's creeping up too much. That has been said to us many times. I've never heard him say, coach, you're lining up offsides, but that receiver, back him up. That's always called. Rex Ryan was talking about that. I don't know what Andy Reid was saying. We get a warning. Lastly, in the last part of the fourth quarter, you want a warning? No, bro. No, he lined up offsides. That's a great play they ran, though. Too bad they ran. Everybody knows it now, but for that one. But, yeah, what are you going to do? He's offsides. But, I know. Shanahan, I don't understand the Niner gunner. It was Bell. You're slipping whatever's chasing. He was falling down. Don't touch him. It's a first down, all right? Don't touch the guy. It's a first down. Okay, I'm not enamored with that. Kyle didn't call us, left three timeouts on the board. You rarely see that in the NFL. But you rarely see a team, you rarely see yourself giving 3 points and shutting a team out in time. That doesn't happen very often either, as the Minnesota Vikings beat the Raiders 3-0. First time in 16 years. But here's the Dumb Football play of the century, okay?
Oh, high praise.
No, here you go. You're playing your rival. It's the greatest rival in college football. Army, Navy. I watch that game every year, and it's like watching paint dry, and there's times you'd rather put hot coals on your eyes than watch those two teams try to score points. But my goodness, this is the game where you pull out all stops. You have, you want to make sure you have every play for every situation. It's the only game, really, anybody that goes to Navy care about. It's the only game anybody that goes to Army cares about. It's the biggest rivalry going. And here comes Navy down 17-9. No timeouts left. Last play of the game. They get it down to the 2-yard line. And I don't know about you, but where's the special play from the 2? I'm waiting. Well, this is going to be great. And they run a quarterback sneak from the 2-yard line. From the 2?
The Tush Push Service Academy edition.
Come up with? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? I'm going, no, I just didn't watch that. Please tell me I didn't watch that. Let me tell you something. What's that play called? The Eagles, what's it called? The tush push?
The tush push or the brotherly shove. Everyone
forgets, because go look it up on YouTube. Jalen Hurts can squat 600 pounds. Yes. It's right there on YouTube. I guess he was a junior weight champion. I hear weightlifting champion. It doesn't matter what he was. I've seen him lift 600 pounds squatting. I think it was might have been college even. When he did it, but I've seen him do it, and that guy makes that play go. It's a Jalen Hurts play.
That's right.
And Navy's guy's like, 5'10", 190 soaking wet. Let's push him through from the two.
Just carry him.
Spread him out like you were doing and run a quarterback draw. Anything but a quarterback sneak.
You're supposed to carry him across the threshold. That's how it works.
I know what Navy's going to say. We're going to take it right out of it. Score to show him we're tougher. Yeah, well, the linebacker almost bent that poor kid like an accordion. So I'm sorry. You just got to be more creative than quarterback. I mean, from the one, I get it. From the inside, the one, I get it. From the two, how often do you see a quarterback sneak from the two?
Not very often.
Never.
Okay, dumb football. Rears its ugly head then. There you go.
There it is.
Seems like a good enough one to wrap the season with, for sure.
For sure. That was it right there. Yeah.
As we always do in our episodes that are near a holiday, it seems like we should wrap up the season with you with the holiday question, because as we noted in our last episode, you are one of the most festive guys we know.
Yes.
So... I thought I would just ask you if there is I know we've talked about Christmas before. We talked about Christmas carols and we talked about when to put up the Christmas lights. We haven't talked about, is there any like Edson specific holiday tradition that you guys follow around Christmas time? Is there any specific tradition that you guys have that's just like specific to your family?
Like reindeer antlers on the dogs or something?
My wife is buying has bought the dogs some Christmas festivities, but the one tradition that's been around as long as it feels like since my wife and I first got married like 37 years ago. But the one tradition is by far and away every Christmas morning, it's mimosas and French bread souffle, which I have nicknamed the Gut Buster. Wow. It is unbelievable. The amount of cheese in this souffle. And if you eat too much, and it's every Christmas morning, the girls, my wife's sister, myself, we've been celebrating Christmas for, I don't know how long together. It seems like forever. And she makes that Gut Buster. And I'm telling you, if you have too much of it, you cannot walk for at least 24 hours. So I look forward to the Gut Buster every Christmas. We open presents. The dad turns on TBS and watches A Christmas Story for at least an hour or so, because it's on 24/7 that on Christmas Day, and that's one of the few movies. Like I think I've told you this before, but I'm going to reemphasize this. I am one of the few people that you will know in this world that actually saw A Christmas Story in the movie theaters.
Yep.
Which I did. And there's very few of us out there that actually did that. I saw Napoleon Dynamite in the theaters too. A lot of people have not seen that in the theaters as well. I like to point that out. So, okay.
Oh my goodness.
I'm full of those, but let me tell you, the Gut Buster is an Edson tradition, and the mimosas. That's it right there.
The Gut Buster. Vote for Pedro.
Send off.
Yeah, we got it all here. That will put a cap on another successful season. And because we have not mentioned this, because it's like talking about a pitcher throwing a perfect game, but we have managed to make it all season without having you threaten us with contacting your agent. Not once this year did you threaten to go to management. So I feel like provided Chase can survive a full year in the classroom and he's still alive next year, I like our chances to run this thing back.
It's only December. Chase has got a long ways to go.
Well, I'm saying.
We'll see. He might be in the insane asylum by July. We don't know.
All right, coach.
Thanks for another year. That was another great year. Yep. Are you guys going to do a little highlight show down the road?
Or, oh, we will. Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Don't you worry.
It was a fun year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who knows what the future brings? We'll worry about that next year. So
that's right.
Sounds good, coach.
All right, guys. Have a Merry Christmas. Holiday. All right. Yep. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. See you later.
See ya.
Well, we went from burritos to Gutbusters. What a segment.
one of these things is like the other.
This show wouldn't be what it is without Coach Edson, so we appreciate him stopping by every week and being himself, which is all that he needs to be at this point. So now it's just time for us to wrap this thing up, man. I will gladly do the final read.
It's my Christmas present, right?
All right. We'll be back in a second. Once again, we'd like to thank Coach Edson, as well as two-time state champion Charles Williams, for giving us his time as well after basketball practice, because as you noted, he never rests. We built 7 Friday Night using Spotify for Podcasters, formerly Anchor, but the show is available on several platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. If you listen to shows on one of those platforms, search for 7 Friday Night, and please rate and subscribe. To leave a voice message for our show, visit podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/7FridayNight, the number 7. Let us know what you've liked so far and if there's any players you want to see featured or interviewed on the show. Each of our episodes also get their own dedicated page on Sports Stars Magazine's web home, sportsstarsmag.com. You can stream the episode there or find links to the various other platforms. Our main cover art features photography and design by yours truly. And finally, our theme music was produced and performed by Dustin Phillips. And that's that. Ben, now you are officially down to 2 final thoughts left. Do you have anything left after that opening segment? You got a lot out in that opening segment.
I'm spent, yes. I just wanted to make sure to hear myself talk as much as possible, since I'm going to have to record these for myself over the next few months and nobody will listen to them. Yeah, we're going to do one more of these in the next couple of weeks when we figure out the all NorCal team. Really, it's going to be an autocracy when it comes to that, right? I get to do whatever the hell I want, as usual.
You've seen 3 times as many games as I did this year. Baby. So this is it's your team.
And when people disagree, it's Chase's fault, per usual. But all we can really do at this point is reiterate what we said last week. It's been a really fun year. We have a ton of talented players coming back next year. We're not going anywhere. Good Lord willing, this will live on. And coming out of this year, we're going to have a bunch of guys that we can root for in college moving forward. You mentioned this earlier in passing. I love that NorCal won 2/3 of the state games, because even if it feels like the gap in the open game remains overwhelming and insurmountable, I think that the overall result of the weekend speaks to the relative strength of football in our half of the state. So yep. There's just a lot to like there. There's a lot of reasons to keep coming back. Like I said, we'll do this again in a couple weeks, and I'll cry on air, that it's over, and sing my Sarah McLachlan songs, and just generally be weepy. But now's not the time for that. Now is the time to embrace 49er football and really see if we can get that over the finish line, because we have a big role to play there.
We do. We certainly do. I echo everything Ben said. I'd also like to throw in a big thank you to all the coaches and players, not only the ones who were guests on the show this year, but the ones that just entertained us week to week and would give us the time and always give us good conversation and laughs along the way. So we appreciate all of you. We can't wait to see what you guys bring us in 2024.
Yes, and I will close by doing something that I do not ever like to do. You know this about me, but we should probably recognize the fact that we've gone an entire season with one of us launching an absolutely new career and editing this show and getting it up every single week without fail. We didn't miss a week this year, people.
We didn't.
Yeah, one member, our editor of this show, is raising kids, having a family, and starting a new career and still putting this together. Nobody else in Northern California is doing that. Nobody, not anybody. I guarantee it. So thank you to you for putting this thing on. And, you know, that's all you're going to get out of me.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It's been fun. And we will be back in a few weeks, sometimes after Christmas, with a All NorCal team special edition. So look for that. Keep an eye on the tweets. And if you see Ben, give him a pat on the back and tell him football will come back soon. Don't worry.
I'm going to show up at random high school basketball games just so that I can use my new camera. It's like, can I be on Coach Schroeder's staff?
All right, fans, thanks for the ride, and we'll see you in a few.
We'll be back.
I have a question. Why are my earplugs not working? I just did it, and it worked fine on online.
It's probably Chase's fault.
Your earbuds aren't working with Zoom?
Yes. I'm on YouTube right now. It's as loud as it can be.
I don't know why that is.
Can I get a better answer than that, Chase?
I don't.
Zoom probably hasn't connected.
I got it. I just went to headphones. That's because I'm a genius.